Good morning, everybody. God bless you. So good to be able to share the word of the Lord with you today. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to come over with me to John chapter 14, John's Gospel chapter 14. And while you're headed there, just a couple of things I want to share with you very quickly. We again want to express our condolences to Pastor Glenn and to his family on the passing of his nephew, Mark. And as Pastor mentioned, Mark had a young daughter named Anna who's just a year and a half old. And the family was requesting that in lieu of flowers, donations might be made instead to a memorial fund for Anna. So the board has asked me to just announce that we'll be receiving an offering this morning for the benefit of that fund for Anna. We're going to be placing some offering baskets at the rear of the sanctuary, the doors that lead out to the lobbies at the conclusion of the service. You also have an extra envelope in your program this morning. If you don't have an extra envelope, we'll make sure that there are some additional envelopes out at the table in the back. If you'd like to give into that offering by writing a check, you can just make it payable to Harvest Time Church and put the notation there on the memo line that it's for the memorial fund. If you're not prepared to give something today but would like to give at some point in the future, you can certainly do that. Just send it in to us with that little note and we'll make sure that it gets to the right place, and we thank you for that. A couple other calendar things for you. We do want to remind our young adults at Gravitas will be meeting this evening at 7:30 for their Thanksgiving feast. Gravitas is our ministry for folks in their 20s and 30s, and if you'd like to have a great time of fellowship, they're going to be here at the church tonight, 7:30. Most of the food is provided, but please bring a plate of Thanksgiving food that you enjoy to share, and we'll see you here for that at 7:30. Also, the building is closed Thursday and Friday. There will not be any Portuguese service this Friday night. Connection will not be meeting this Friday night. All right, John chapter 14, and I'm going to begin reading this morning at verse 19. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." These are beautiful words recorded for us by the Apostle John at the Last Supper. And here, Jesus is giving us the promise of peace, his very own peace. And I want to explore that peace with you this morning. Title of my message is, "Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled." Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the wonderful name of Jesus, the name that opens your presence to us, Lord. We thank you for the gift of your word. It is a lamp for our feet, and it's the light for our pathway. Jesus said that the word of God is like seed. So, Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts right now. Let our hearts be good soil that can receive and bear fruit from the word of God. Jesus said the words that he speaks to us are spirit and life. So, Holy Spirit, would you come, please, minister life to us now from these words from Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen. And amen. Well, this passage of scripture that we've read this morning comes from the Last Supper. It comes from what we call Jesus' farewell discourse. And in John chapter 14 and all the way through John chapter 17, we have a very rare and wonderful window into Jesus' relationship with his disciples, and a rare and beautiful window into Jesus' prayer life. In these chapters, we get to see Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure. Jesus is leaving his friends, and so as anyone would, he takes time to share with them the things that are most important to him. He seeks to bring clarity into their confusion and encouragement where there may be discouragement. He wants them to know peace and not be anxious in the face of uncertainty. Just as the disciples became anxious, wondering what life might be like without the Master, we too are an anxious people, and we live in an age of anxiety. Many Americans today are overloaded, and we find that we can't easily grapple with pressures of time, work, money, health, and family. But fortunately for us, traffic is always very light in the New York area during the holiday season. And we're thankful that that gives us at least some relief. I'm sure you'll be able to relax if you're traveling this Thanksgiving. But seriously, we know that anxiety and a lack of peace in our society is contributing everywhere to fractured relationships, poor mental health, poor physical health, poor spiritual health. Not only do we live in an anxious age, but we find ourselves today in an anxious moment. We're all aware of the deadly attacks in France last week and how they caused distress for people all over the world. Just this Friday, again, we saw another attack in the nation of Mali, and an American was killed there. America and many other nations are facing enemies who have the specific goal of causing terror, of paralyzing people with fear. Besides this, there is already a steady drumbeat of fear being aimed at us through various secular and even Christian media, constantly warning us about natural disasters and economic turmoil and all kinds of calamities. Jesus knew that worries would come. That's why he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Christians are not immune to the assault of fear. Fear will stalk you and me the same as it will stalk anybody. But as believers in Christ, we possess a shelter from fear. We have a mighty protector. In Psalm 61, King David placed his confidence in that heavenly rock. He said, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covering of your wings." Jesus is coming to his anxious disciples today, just as he calmed his first anxious disciples on the night of the Last Supper, coming to bless us today with the gift of his peace. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How can we know the peace of Christ? How can we walk in peace when people around us are succumbing to fear? I see three things here in our Lord's words that we need to do if we want to experience the peace that he's offering us, and I want to share them with you. Three things we need to do to experience the peace of God. And the first one is this: experience peace by living for the purposes of God. Experience peace by living for the purposes of God. You know, there's something unique about the peace that Jesus extends to us. He refers to it as his peace. The Bible is clear. Mankind has no hope for peace over the long term and no hope for peace after this life, unless we receive his peace, unless we are first at peace with God, unless we are first connected to the purposes of God for our lives. Church, let's admit it. We human beings are a stubborn bunch. We like to talk about peace and sing about peace. We have bumper stickers that tell us to coexist. We have peace conferences. We've got peace signs, man. And we've got Nobel Peace Prizes. The problem is we just don't have any peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. But the human race has often brushed aside that offer of divine peace, and instead we have preferred to create substitutes for it. We refuse to go to the source of peace, but we still have restless souls, and so we manufacture false peace for ourselves in every imaginable way. Substance abuse promises peace to people, but it is a false promise. People use alcohol and drugs to quiet a stormy heart or a raging mind. It may not be an answer, but people think at least it's an anesthetic. Illicit drugs invade American families, leaving a trail of wreckage in every town and city. And sadly, there are few Americans anymore who don't know of a home that's been poisoned by this flood. To those of you who may be trapped in that kind of prison this morning, Jesus is coming to you and he's saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, he says, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Entertainment promises us peace, but it is another false promise. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and he had to learn that chasing pleasure, chasing entertainment, is also an empty way of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon says, I thought to myself, come on now, I will try self-indulgent pleasure to see if it is worthwhile. But I found that it also is futile. We won't talk this morning about the content of our entertainment, but church, at some point, the sheer amount of time that we spend entertaining ourselves becomes a spiritual issue. It hinders our spiritual growth, and it robs people of the time even to do the normal and necessary things of life. I read this week that the average American now watches 33 hours of television a week. And the average American who is on social media now spends over 4.5 hours a day doing what? Checking his phone. Over in England, they have tested the concept of putting padding around the lampposts. And I think you know why. They did it because so many people have been walking into the lamppost while texting and hurting themselves. We have to be connected all the time. Addiction to entertainment and constant connectedness offers a false promise of peace, of happiness, and apparently it's also dangerous to our health. Some follow false promises of peace by seeking enlightenment without the Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And yet many turn away from his offer of life and peace. They would rather pursue strange spiritual quests, contorting their bodies and their minds, seeking help from spirits that promise them the world always, but deliver very little. Not many years ago, many of you will remember, the Heaven's Gate cult was preaching suicide, claiming that a hidden UFO that was following the tail of a comet was going to pick up the souls of their faithful followers as they left this earth by their own hand. Over 30 people responded to their bizarre appeal. What a tragic waste when the joy and the peace that those people were looking for was freely available from Jesus, who said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Have you discovered yet, like old King Solomon did, that everything you've tried has left you empty? Jesus has a better prescription for you, and it's not the oblivion that comes from a bottle. It's not the false peace that the world gives us as we drink in its entertainment. Neither is it some altered state of consciousness that we can manufacture by gazing at our navels. Jesus says, it's his peace, my peace I give you. Now, in saying that, Jesus has put his finger squarely on what is the real problem of mankind. We are separated from God. We are not at peace with God. And because we're not at peace with God, life will ultimately be unsatisfying without Him. And we try to mask that in dozens of different ways, but in the quiet place of our hearts, we know there is a voice that's calling to us to come home, a voice that people often try to drown out with drugs or pleasure or other gods. As long as our relationship, though, with God is fractured, we have no peace and we stay separated from His purposes in our lives. Peace and fulfillment will never come until we're at peace with the Creator who made us for a wonderful purpose. The Bible says that our separation from God and our lack of peace is caused by sin. Is it okay if we preach the gospel here this morning? Every man and every woman in this world not only bears the image of God, but also bears the image of Adam, our first father. Adam's disobedience to God destroyed the peace that he formerly enjoyed with God. He hid from God. He shifted the blame for his actions. And he also engaged in the world's first unsuccessful cover-up. These are things that each of us has done. And we came by them honestly. We learned them from our first parents. Ever since that fateful fall of man in the Garden of Eden, human beings have possessed a sinful nature that doesn't want to do it God's way. We all have something inside of us that wants to push back at God like a toddler and say, "You are not the boss of me." Church, this is not a trivial problem. The Bible does not simply say that sin will make you unhappy, although it will. It says our sin is an offense to a holy God. It says that the wages of sin is death. Sin will keep us from God's presence, not merely ruining our present lives in this world, but keeping us eternally separated from God. The good news of the Christian faith is that God refused to leave us in that condition without a remedy. If there was a price to be paid for our sins, God's solution was to send His own Son to take that punishment upon His own shoulders. What amazing love. John 3:16, that wonderful verse you all know, lays out for us the heart of the gospel message. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the love of God expressed not just in theory, but in action. See, the Bible says all of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to His own way, and the Lord has laid upon Him, laid upon Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. Maybe you know that old saying, "He paid a debt He did not owe, because I owed a debt that I could not pay." That's the good news of the gospel. What amazing love. And through Jesus' death on the cross, God offers us eternal life, a new relationship with Him, a chance to know God personally and become His very sons and daughters. The Bible says, as many as received Him, received Jesus, to them He gave the power to become the children of God. When we turn to Him for forgiveness and cleansing, something wonderful happens. That state of war and separation between us and God, it comes to an end. The door is open again to His presence. We begin to experience peace with God. We are what the Bible calls justified. That means that we are made right with Him. We are placed into good standing with Him once again. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We go from being His enemies to being His friends, even His children. Being at peace with God then removes that nagging sense of guilt that so many of us carry throughout our lives. Any promise of peace in this life is empty unless it's built on a new relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, a relationship that is built on peace. It may just be a slogan, but it's true nonetheless. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. There's an instantaneous change that takes place when we come to know Jesus. He called it being born again. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And Paul says, and now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He forgives and wipes away every kind of sin and every kind of shame. Whatever you may have done, he can set you free and give you peace. Now, there will certainly be an immediate change when you come to Christ, but as you start to live in friendship with God every day, there will also be changes that people will begin to notice in you over time. You will begin to be more and more like Jesus. Your life will no longer be characterized by fear, by anxiety, by guilt. Your life will be more and more characterized by peace. Church, I want to tell you that peace can be your new normal. Instead of an aimless life, you'll begin to get connected to the purposes of God. You'll begin to find out why God made you in the first place. You can live your life as a wonderful partnership with your Creator. I'm not standing here this morning just speaking of something that's purely theoretical, because here at Harvest Time, we have seen people from every kind of background and dealing with every kind of sin and addiction get set free from their fears, from their addictions, from their bondages, and know the peace of Jesus Christ. This is peace that can sustain you over the long haul, for the long term, and it continues on with him even after we leave this life. There's no hope for lasting peace until we receive his peace, until we're at peace with God and connected to his purposes for our lives. Three things we need to do to experience peace. The first one is receive Christ, get connected to the purposes of God, have relational peace with him. And the second one is this: experience peace by trusting in the promises of God. Our first need is to receive peace with God, establishing that relationship. But we find peace in the troubling circumstances of our lives when we learn to trust in the promises of God. Beginning in verse 25 of John 14, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And then he says, "Peace I leave with you." Jesus had been with his friends for 3 years, speaking anointed words of hope and peace. On an earlier occasion, faced with the possibility of perhaps losing Jesus, Peter had said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, as he actually was about to leave, Jesus was promising the disciples and promising us that his powerful words would still bring us encouragement and hope. Jesus would no longer be present with the disciples the way he had been up until that point. But the Holy Spirit, he said, would bring to their minds everything he said to them. And church, I want you to know that the Spirit helps us today just like that, bringing to our minds the life-giving words of Scripture, reminding us of precious promises, telling us, teaching us that we have a faithful God who will sustain us in our trials, reminding us that he will cause all things to work together for my good. And that gives us peace in the midst of the trials that we're facing. That's why Paul reminds us in Romans 12, it's so necessary, he taught us, that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The disciples had the benefit of hearing the Lord Jesus live and in person every day. You and I never had that advantage, but we can still experience the same upbuilding of strength, the very same peace as we listen to God every day through his word. We can give the Holy Spirit something to work with and bring back to our minds, something that he can bring back to our recollection. Church, we need to read the Word of God. Our minds are renewed by the Word of God that gives us faith to see us through the test. It gives us peace to carry us through the storms of life. Can I be honest with you, church, and just tell us today that much of the weakness that we are feeling in our times of pressure comes from the fact that we are often fixing our minds on other things. We are inclining our ears towards the wrong voices. We are choosing poor counselors for ourselves. Paul would say then that our minds are being conformed to the pattern of this world instead of being changed by the Word of God. Meditating on the thoughts of this world and its messages will bring you anxiety. But Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the mind that has been set on the Spirit will produce life and peace. I challenge you, church, this morning to start memorizing again the Word of God. Learn His great and precious promises that will breathe life and peace into your soul. Learn those promises that tell you about a faithful God. Turn off depressing voices on the television and the radio. Turn off discouraging comments from friends. And learn those passages that tell you that you're going to make it. Get to know the God who said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Memorize that word that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Memorize that word that says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Get that word into your spirit that says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and he delivers them. He's the God that says all things are possible to him that believeth. He's the God that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You may be in turmoil this morning. Maybe your life is a mess. The person next to you may not know what's going on with you. You may feel like the disciples did one night, out in a tiny boat on a windswept sea and water starting to come in. But peace will come into your storm when you stand upon the promise of the one who says, we are going to the other side of this lake and you're going to make it. In that famous psalm, Psalm 119, that just speaks at great length about the glories of God's word. King David says, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Learn the word of God little by little. Love the word of God, and you too will experience great peace in your storm. Three things we need to do to experience peace. The first one, live for the purposes of God. The second one is to trust in the promises of God. And finally this, experience peace by walking in the presence of God. Coming to faith in Christ gives us relational peace with God. Trusting in His promises helps us to find peace in the trials of our lives. But walking in the presence of God enables us to experience His peace moment by moment. Jesus gave such a beautiful promise to those who would obey Him, to those who would take time to cultivate a relationship of love with Him. Beginning in verse 21 of our text, Jesus told His disciples, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, don't you always feel sorry for him? How would you like to spend your whole life being known as Jude, not that one, right? It's true. Wait till you go up there and meet him. You're going to remember that. So Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, the Jewish people believed that the Messiah would come and appear to the whole world. And that's why the apostle Jude asked him how he could appear just to the disciples. They thought that Messiah was coming in glory to crush the Romans and all the enemies of God's people. But what the disciples did not understand yet was that Jesus was first going to come to us in a different way. He would come and fill us with his wonderful presence. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, and all the other beautiful graces of Christ would be with us, would be inside of us, would flow out of us into the world. In any moment that you and I need it, the peace that Jesus called his peace can be ours. The peace that Jesus was carrying upon himself, the peace that rested upon him, the peace that sustained him in trials, the peace that enabled him to endure what he endured, even enduring the cross, that peace can be ours. Jesus extends that peace to us always, along with all of his other lovely graces. Jesus said, "My peace I give you." That was his departing gift, his bequest to us. The great old Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, 3 centuries ago, he said it like this. When Christ was about to leave the world, he made his will. His soul he committed to his Father. His body he bequeathed to Joseph to be decently buried. His clothes fell to the soldiers. His mother he left to the care of John. But what should he leave to his poor disciples who had left everything for him? Silver and gold he had none, but he left them that which was infinitely better, his peace. To experience that peace, we need to learn to walk in his presence daily. We need to learn to cultivate closeness to the Lord. Do you know that God gives us in his word the promise of a continual moment-by-moment peace? You can read about it in Isaiah 26, where the prophet says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, the one whose mind is stayed, is fixed upon you because he trusts in you. He will keep you in perfect peace." This means that we stay before the Lord throughout the day. It means we speak to him throughout our day. We invite him and we welcome him into all the many things that we do during our days. That was the teaching of the apostles. Paul said, a verse many of you know, I'm sure, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Church, that peace belongs to you and to me. It's my birthright. But notice the condition that the Lord attaches to it. The condition is that I be thankful, that I pray, that I let my request be made known to God in every situation. To experience that peace, can I tell you, we may need to make some lifestyle changes. Some changes that will help us to welcome and host the Lord's presence in our homes. There may need to be a day of fasting now and again. All right, got a little quiet there. I know you're not going to be fasting Thursday, so fast tomorrow, all right? There may need to be a day of fasting now and again. Amen. We may need to drop the phone. Or put down the remote. Step away, ma'am, from the mouse. We may need to watch a different show than the show we've been watching. We may need to repair the family altar and pray with our spouses and tell your kids you're going to pray with your kids, even if they roll their eyes at you. Amen. Once again, we need to seek his presence over other things if we want to obtain his peace and sense his nearness to us. If your heart is anxious, let that tell you that you need to move in the direction of more worship, more seeking his face, more time at his feet. Worship team, you can come back and help me, please. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That last word, afraid, there in the Greek, it's an uncommon word in the New Testament. It actually means cowardly. See, Jesus knew that our days and weeks would be invaded by little thieves that would come to steal our peace, and they would come to rattle us. They would come to shake our hearts and make us cowardly. When the world is in distress, church, we have a choice to make. When there is breaking news, which there seems to be every 5 minutes, I don't know if you've noticed that. But when there's breaking news releasing fear into the world, we can immediately run to the basement and check our supplies of batteries and bottled water. Or else we can draw upon his peace. We can go to him and say, "Lord Jesus, you promised me your peace. You promised me that you would extend your peace to me. So I receive it now, Lord. Father, would you fill me with your peace? Make me a lighthouse and a beacon of your peace that others can see as well and feel your peace coming to their spirits." And that's the last day's promise of God. Isaiah chapter 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." See, church, the Holy Spirit is telling you there that God's going to do his part. He's going to arise upon you in the midst of darkness. But what's our part? Our part is to arise and shine. Our part is to be his beacons of hope and of life and of peace. I believe, church, that God is calling us to prepare our hearts. Here at Harvest Time, you will not always find us preaching the news, so to speak. But I knew within my spirit that the Lord wanted me to share a word about his peace because of the recent events. Can I tell you that we don't know what the nations of the world or other people are going to do? But I do know that the Lord is still giving us some time today to prepare our hearts. He's still giving us some time to grow in his word and become established in his peace. He is telling us that it's time to learn to walk in peace moment by moment. Christian people, and only Christian people, know where that peace can be found. It can only be found in him. It can only be found through him. Not by studying some principles of peace, but by knowing him, by studying him, by sitting at his feet. You know, in John chapter 16, right before he prayed for his disciples at that same Last Supper, Jesus concluded his teaching right before he prayed for them by saying this: "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world." Jesus offers us peace with God, friendship with the Father. Jesus offers us peace in the midst of our circumstances as we learn to rest upon his promises. And Jesus offers us peace every hour of every day as we learn to walk in his presence. No matter what we face today, no matter what may face you tomorrow, we know the one who said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Come on, would you stand and let's give Jesus, the Prince of Peace, a praise in his house today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.